other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by finding euros and Canadian coins in your change jar. Confusing. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Finding what?
Euros and Canadian coins in your change jar.
Sure.
Isn't that weird when you find you're like, I haven't been to Europe, but all of a sudden I have a bunch of euros.
Yeah.
Why? And Brick is here as well.
One time I found some Indian rupees.
Wow.
Under my driver's seat of my car.
Huh. Interesting.
Never been to India.
Was it a used car?
Nope. It was a car I had owned for years. It's a little harrowing, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe you were a time traveler. Maybe you will go to India in the future.
Yeah, or maybe I was just a geographic traveler. I don't know.
Today's topic is a familiar one for anyone who is book snob like we are, who would go to someone's house, maybe someone you met for the first time, or you're going to their house for the first time at least, and you go, and the first thing you check out is their bookshelf. Go to a party, maybe go on a first date, whatever the case may be, and as soon as you get alone with that bookshelf, you're scanning, looking for titles and names and starting to make judgments. And I assume we all do this, right? I for sure do it, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I look for is just the existence of books.
Right.
Because that's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
It's like a flow chart. Like, if there is no bookshelf in the first place, stop. And then
right.
If there is one, keep going, looking at what's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Break you too.
Yeah, it's one of the first things they do in someone else's house.
Why do you think that is? What's behind that?
Because I'm a judgmental asshole. And
but what do we expect to learn from these bookshelf excursions?
I think you learn very quickly from someone what their book collection habits are.
Yeah. But what does that do for you?
The non-existence of books wouldn't be a thing because they maybe just don't keep them. They might be library people.
Right.
Or they might not be people that feel the need to decorate with books. That's almost better than people who just decorate with books, but clearly don't read them. So I don't know if I would necessarily judge someone because they don't have a bookshelf prominently displayed in their house. Though obviously, if they do, I'm going to be more inclined to want to know more about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when you get deep into the bookshelf, what kinds of things are you looking for or not looking for? Like what? Give me some examples of what stands out to you or not.
I think you can find out a lot about someone's personality on the kind of books they both read but also keep, right?
Right.
If the book's covered, the shelf's covered in J.Pat and Deepak Chopra. I never say that guy's name right, but whatever. You know, or like Tony Robbins. That's going to tell me one thing about a person.
Right.
If it's all like high school books,
hmm.
That's going to tell me something about the person.
Do you mean like reading list books or like YA?
Gatsby and stuff.
Well, both. Yeah. And not even in a judgmental way. But yeah, I mean, if it's all like To Kill a Mockingbird and whatever, I like a nice mix of books.
What if it's all Ayn Rand?
I'm out.
And I'm gone.
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
Like, you know, someone's got this shelf right there, that three shelf one, like the little shelf, and there's 25 books on it, and three of them are Ayn Rand, and you're like,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It depends on, I guess, I agree. Dave, what about you? What are you looking for in these bookshelf descriptions?
I'm looking to see what we have in common.
Mm.
I'm looking to see, like, what kind of a mix is happening. You know, mix between, like, fiction and non, for one thing, or, like, contemporary fiction for classics.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if they are buying, like, the hot literary fiction, you know, like the hyped books that everyone writes about on Twitter but never really reads. Like
right.
If they collect those, then, you know, that'll tell me something
right.
About him or her.
Right.
I think it's just an effort to get to know a person better through, like you were saying, the books he or she chooses to keep.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe so, not necessarily read. I don't know. But you can tell, right? If it's books for decoration, that becomes clear. And yeah, that turns me off.
Yeah. It seems like almost a magnetic attraction to how someone represents themselves through the books on the shelf. Like even my therapist's office, she has a bookshelf with like the books are all, they have all white spines, like all, they're all hardcovers and they have the white sort of like textured fabric.
Bought the set.
Yeah. You can like order those things like by color, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all just like random books. Like there's the one thing I've noticed. Maybe more specifically, there's like a Carrie Fisher like auto or memoir in there somewhere. There's a lot of them. They're obviously just there for color. It's not there for, she hasn't read those books. She's not
right.
Planning to. It's just, here's a bunch of white books to sort of set the office in a certain mood or tone. But I still find myself scanning them, especially during group therapy sessions when I'm still doing that. I would like sit there and look at the book titles just trying to figure out what was going on, just like trying to make some kind of connections or patterns there. Any kind of time, estate sales, intimately find yourself in someone else's place where there's some kind of hint of a bookshelf, it's always this attempt to like use that as a rubric or as some sort of like access key into their life, right? But I often find myself intimidated by people's bookshelves. Like I always end up judging myself more than the person where I'm like, oh man, really? I have shitty taste compared to you.
I haven't read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like I am such a, my sort of pet focuses or like interests seem diminished. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I have a bunch of comics, but like this person has like real literature.
A third.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. If they do, I'm very excited because I'm like, oh, cool, we have this in common. But if it's, if someone has a really good taste in literature, and you can tell from their bookshelf, I'm always like, oh man, I suck. And then I want to talk more about it, but also I kind of feel that like internal judgment of like, man, I wish I had a better bookshelf.
Yeah.
It wasn't just comics. Right.
I mean, I definitely want to ask people about the books on the shelf.
Yeah.
If there's a book that looks good. What's that about?
Yeah, or something funny or weird. Like, it's always good, especially like trying to create conversation with someone you don't know super well, to be like, oh, why, what's this? Like, tell me more about this. Like, what do you...
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I like books and talking to people about books, and I'd much rather talk to people about books than the weather or politics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like if you're going to decorate your house with your hobby, then it's kind of an invitation to have a conversation about it.
Do you ever feel guilt about your sort of scanning and judgment?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean personal guilt or like guilt about the behavior? I mean, the answer is no for both.
But yeah, both.
No, I'm pretty good with... I feel like I wouldn't... If someone's shelf was covered in J-Pat or like crappy thriller books that I turn my nose at like a dick,
right.
I wouldn't call attention to it and like... I wouldn't like sarcastically put them down in their own house and be like, oh, you got shit things, whatever. I'd probably be polite about it or not talk about books at all, you know? Right. But I don't feel guilty about it, no. That just clues me to that's not the kind of interactions I'm going to have with that person because
right.
I know that there's nothing nice I'm going to say about that. So if they bring it up, I'll kind of politely engage. But otherwise, we're either going to find something else to talk about or this is not a person that shares interest with me.
Right.
Do you feel different about looking at someone's bookshelves when it's you're on a date or you're after a date as compared to like your therapist's office or like you're at a party at someone's house or something?
Yeah, I guess a little bit because you're looking for more of that sense of what's the connection going to look like here potentially, right? At a party, the bookshelf is almost just like a refuge, right? It's like, at least I can go over here and look at the bookshelf and like not have to worry about trying to talk to people. I can just sort of focus on this stuff. And if I am feeling bold, I'll pull a book out and start reading it to avoid having to be like social, which is my own problem.
Yeah, but that tactic can get you laid sometimes.
As never has before. We'll see. I'll get back to you in the future on that one. Yeah, I do feel a bit of that guilt where I start to like second guess my own judgments, or I'm like, I shouldn't be so critical of this person's bookshelf.
So either way, you're feeling guilty. If you feel critical of their bookshelf, you feel guilty. If they have better books than you, you feel guilty.
Absolutely.
This has become a different conversation.
But it makes sense because it's like a location of, I mean, I do a lot of, we have a podcast about books and literature. We talk about it a lot. I think about it a lot and I enjoy those things. And so it's a place where I put a lot of, I guess, my identity in some ways in it. And so then confronting that or thinking about it in a critical way can easily lead to some sense of guilt, right? And same with like record shelves or like record collections, people's art on their walls too. Like I feel like the way people decorate their houses to me is always, not always, but it seems cool. And I'm always like, oh, I wish I had cooler taste, like had cooler stuff. My favorite thing on a bookshelf is when someone has a bunch of really old weird paperbacks, like the kind of stuff we bought at the weird rummage sale last in the fall. Like that kind of stuff on a bookshelf is really cool to me, where it's not just good taste in literature, it's more like interesting preferences or interesting sort of like hobbies or whatever. It just speaks to more of a collector's mindset maybe, or more of sort of like a idiosyncratic approach to those things versus just like, oh yeah, I read a lot and here's the books that I have read. It's like, I'm also kind of a weirdo and I always respond really well to that.
Can we flip it? Did you have something else or were you going to?
I was going to do a wrap up sort of, so you go first.
What about when other people are in our apartments or houses and are looking through our bookshelves? How do we feel about that? How do you feel when you see when you're on the other side of it?
I'll let you guess.
Guilty. Shame. You feel shame. Okay. Shame and guilt.
Intense anxiety. I'm just like, oh God, I know they're reading the bookshelf and they're going to judge and they're going to be right. And I'm going to have to like live with that. People are very nice though. I feel like most people are like, oh cool. Like, they'll find something to pick out they like, which is what you do anyway. But my head is always running to, oh, they're going to see that I don't have enough books by women, or they're going to see that I have too many comics, or they're going to see that I have too many books on this or that, or too much on my to read shelf and not on my have read shelf. There's always some way to find like the negative.
Would
side
they
of
know?
I don't know.
But you're too reading.
Do you have it labeled?
Yeah. I do have two different bookshelves, one for each purpose, but the one that has the to read shelf also has movies on it. So that shows you how the space differential is taken up there. Yeah, do you guys have that same feeling? Or
no, I have lots of books and I'm good with it.
If someone starts scanning, do you get itchy? Do you want to go over and like interpret things or contextualize them, or you just like let them do what they're going to do and then come back and talk about it?
I might go and join them, but not from a sense of itchiness or defensiveness. It's curiosity. If someone doesn't care what I care about, it doesn't bother me. I don't take it personally. If it were someone like I was really interested in and then it seemed to not, if there's disapproval written all over, then maybe I'd be having that feeling. But my default wouldn't be that. My default would be more like curiosity on how they're going to interpret it, or even if they're going to care at all, they might just look like, eh.
Yeah.
but I don't know. I've always had lots of books in my room.
Right.
And or in my house now. And more often than not, if someone engages with it, it results in some sort of positive interaction.
Yeah, if it's robust enough, then someone can find something in your library to talk about that they like, mm-hmm. right? I feel like most people are pretty generous in that regard. And so if you have enough out there and your interests are varied enough, then someone will find something to talk about that they like.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot in the past about like half the reason I don't get rid of books ever.
Right.
Because I like the idea of having my own little library, right? But part of that instinct is to want to share it with someone. It's
yeah.
not a hoarding thing. It's a, this is sort of my closed system of self-representation, right? This,
right.
These are the books and movies and games that I'm willing to show to people, right?
Yeah.
So it's out there.
Right. It is like wall art.
Yeah. And it's like, come engage with it or not. I don't care. If not, go to the kitchen and have a drink and don't even bother looking at the books. I don't care.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Has looking at someone's books ever made you interested in them than you thought you were before you looked at their books?
Think so. At least I would say it's revealed nuances maybe in that relationship or that sort of interest. I never have like to a party, for instance, and been like this person, whatever. And then one of the books have been like, oh, wow, they're actually really cool. It tends to be more like this person. They're a friend of mine or whatever. And now I learn more about them. And I see, oh, they have these like, diverse interests that I didn't know about in the first place. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been sold on someone just by the bookshelf. I'm open to it, though. What about estate sales?
Yeah. I mean, I'll always pick a corpse.
Yeah.
I don't, when I'm in a situation like that, I'm not even, I mean, I'm maybe a little bit just on a lark, curious about who the person was.
Yeah.
But more, I'm just like, is there anything here I can get for cheap?
Right.
That's more my angle on that.
Yeah. Right, right.
The first thing I do in estate sales, this is weird, is go for the coffee mugs.
Huh. Why?
Because there's always weird shit in the coffee mug portion of estate sales. It's,
yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like weird knickknacks and stuff.
Right.
And then I'll make my way to the books. But
yeah. Books and records.
Like that strange, kitschy stuff, I think, is more... Right. Because most of the books and records, like, you can also find them at Savers or, like,
yeah.
you know, stuff in the neighborhood where, like, you can find some weird shit at estate sales. Like, yeah, here's a little carving of, like, a duck with a boner or whatever, you know? And it's like, yeah, I'm never finding that ever again in my life. So, obviously, I'm paying $3 for this.
And you go to Job Lots and also there's a huge palette of duck yeah. boner carvings. God damn it.
Yeah. Duped. Just like everyone else that duck came in contact with.
One time I went to an estate sale. This is not about books. And I was looking around. It was the person who lived next to me in Brighton. It was a kind of a cramped apartment. There were a lot of people there. So I was kind of trying to eke my way into a place that wasn't so packed. And I went upstairs and turned the corner into what I thought was a bedroom. I think maybe it was, hoping there'd be something in there to look at. And I walked into the room. In this room set up was, I want to say, 600 porcelain dolls all staring at the door. And my entire insides turned to ice. Oh, and I yeah. like, literally, my balls completely clenched up and like went into my stomach. And I went, yeah. ooh, like out loud and just was frozen. It was so fucking terrifying. Yeah, I've never felt that scared my entire life. And then I just like shrunk back out once I had gained my senses. It yeah. was the worst.
And then your balls came back out.
No, they're still up there.
Even the wrong one?
Just one.
Yeah. And it came out all wrong. My wrap-up question is this. Is there one single item that if you saw on someone's bookshelf, it would alarm you? What would be the most alarming or sort of distressing option for you in someone's bookshelf?
A picture of me.
But like taken when you weren't aware of it, like a sort of candid shot of you, like when you're at your desk, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, not something like yeah, it was my friend's house then. I mean, it would still be a little weird, I think, but depending on who it is. But yeah.
If a stranger had a picture of you
like just me, at your desk. Not like a group shot, but like just...
Yeah, I mean like walking the park or something like that, like from a long distance. Like, were you even aware of it?
I have a story about that. That's probably a bro-to-bro, though.
Okay, good. Okay, so picture of Brick, Dave.
Any item or just a book?
I mean, I thought it was a book, but I will put any item here for sure.
So like a still bleeding severed head. It's like...
Still bleeding.
Because that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure that there's a better answer out there somewhere, but my first thought is Ayn Rand.
Yeah. It's a really good one, I think.
Especially if she features prominently. If a person has like five books or five novels and four of them are Ayn Rand books, then...
Yeah. Right.
Biographies of shitty Republicans.
Yeah, or biased Republicans, like... What's like his name?
Sarah Palin's book. Bill O'Reilly books.
Yeah. Ooh, any yeah. of those like...
out.
Yeah, any like killing Lincoln, killing Kennedy, all those kinds of things would be like, God...
What about Rush to the Future?
I mean, depends on whose bookshelf.
Would you consider it possibly there, ironically?
If I knew someone was a podcaster, I might.
Yeah. I wonder whatever happened to that book.
You actually had the physical copy of it.
Yeah, I had it. Pieces. But I was in my own apartment when we recorded that.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Emphasis on the jism.
There was a game, but the loser had to read the book or got my copy of the book, but I don't know what happened after that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Probably did go to Mark. Mark, if you have to tell us what happened to Rush Revere. What did you do? When did you destroy it? Where did you bury it? Those are really good answers. I feel like my answer to that would be, so I actually, that is a point I wanted to make. Novelty things on bookshelves can be tricky, right? Like I, in my office, in my bookshelf in my office at work has a copy of Dynetics on it because I found it on the lending library and I was like, this is funny. But no one knows, if a student comes in, they're not going to be like, oh, Aaron thinks this is funny. Right, like yeah, they might be yeah. like, he's a Scientologist, right. Which whatever, I'm not going to court a lawsuit here, but it does feel like I made a joke for myself that maybe no one else would get, and yeah. I'm possibly setting myself up for something awkward.
You know what you need in your office?
What's that?
The Elrond cupboard. We got to bring that back. That's exactly what it was made for.
For hiding your copy of Dynamics.
Yeah. Or Battlefield Earth or anything cupboard related.
The Elrond cupboard. So the one thing that would distress me, maybe not the most, but like it's an example of something that would distress me is if there were too many books about World War II. Like if there was too much like European...
Civil War is even worse.
Yeah, that too. But I feel like there tends to be an association of like fascination with military history and World War II with like weird alt-right people.
Okay.
Like I feel like that would be something I'd be like, oh man, this person's really into World War II, and especially European theater.
Nazi.
Yeah, just like being like, oh man, why? Like what's, I don't know that I want to know the answer to this question necessarily. Yeah. That would be like a moment where I'd be like, oh, okay, well let's figure this out.
I have an uncle who has like a collection of books about not just World War II, but Hitler specifically. He has like dozens of Hitler books.
That's just...
And as far as I know, weird. He's not like in any way a Nazi, but
right. But you have to wonder, like,
aspiring Nazi.
So what else is there in that story to mine?
Fascination with that kind of inhumanity, I guess. But
yeah,
still, yeah.
And to have them in a collection and not be like, yeah, I've read a couple of Hitler books, but I keep selling them because I don't want people to see my Hitler books. Right. Like, do instead of be like, yeah, sure, I got Hitler books, whatever. There's a 17th one about Hitler. Bring it on, listeners. Let us see what your bookshelf is like. Let's judge you. Take a picture on Twitter and send it to us, or post it. We want to assess your work, and then we won't be mean in person, or at least to your face. We'll be mean in a conversation amongst ourselves.
We should probably tweet our own bookshelves too.
Just totally to be fair, yeah. I'll do that. Hashtag see how disgusting my bookshelf is.
Bookshelf porn.
Yeah, feel all the anxiety
which
all over.
Is different
again.
Than hashtag yeah. porn bookshelf.
That way, Aaron, you can feel ashamed and guilty all the time.
Aaron, don't mix those up.
Dude, I thought you meant porn bookshelf.
They're separate pictures.
Man, a whole bookshelf, imagine. We're on Twitter at YakBabies, and then email us if you want to make your photos your bookshelf private, ooh la la, email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com, and then go on Patreon.com/YakBabies and find us there for $1 a month. You get access to all our bonus materials, including a bro-to-bro that Brick referenced elliptically earlier. Hear the rest of that story for $1 a month. Can you imagine what it would be? I have no idea, but I'm dying to know. I'll find out for free because I get to do this myself, but you have to pay for it. But it's only a dollar.
We pay for it too.
That's true. I do pay for it. Never mind. Until then,
that's
YakBabies.
Commitment.
That's how much I love these stories. YakBabies yakking off.
The YakBabies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.